Nobody likes to shop for a casket, especially if that casket is a miniature one. She had been carrying this child for 8 months. They were expecting a beautiful baby boy. Something happened. The doctors don't know what it was. But at 8 months, her water broke. They rushed her to the emergency room. We got an urgent email message for the prayer team from the church. Please be praying for the family and for the baby. They did an emergency C-section. There was no heartbeat. Baby Oliver was without oxygen for 18 minutes. He was born, stillborn. They resuscitated him, put him on life support, put a feeding tube up his nose, put him on a respirator. The prayers were being prayed all over the nation, all over the world, with as church members connected with people and said, please be praying for baby Oliver. Please pray for him. 8 days, up and down. We got one email message that said, his kidneys are working correctly and he's trying to breathe over the respirator. There's hope. But the doctors don't know for certain why he was born early. I went and I visited with the family there at Vanderbilt University Hospital in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. I went in and I saw baby Oliver, and it's heartbreaking to see a newborn with so many tubes and monitors and wires attached to him. For 8 days, he fought, put up a good fight. But he finally gave up his last. The doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. His brain waves are really not doing anything. And so we're going to have to take him off of life support. Heartbreaking. We got an email. I got an email message the following day from the grandfather. It says, Pastor John, how can I speak to my kids? Give me some words of hope for the parents. Because right now, they are asking the question, where was God? Everyone had prayed, where was God? It's a legitimate question. Take your pick of any of the disasters or calamities that you've seen on the news this past year. Almost 9,000 people die in an earthquake in Nepal. Another 9 people killed innocently sitting in a church in the Carolinas by a gunman trying to create a race war. What about the genocide in Africa? The famines taking place all around the world? What about the fires, wildfires right here in our own state? Floods, dust storms. Just take your pick of any one of these natural disasters or violence acts, and people are going to say, where was God? Doesn't God care about us? Isn't he supposed to be a God of love? Isn't he supposed to be someone who is smiling, looking down upon us and smiling at us? Smiling, yes, that's a new word. Where was God? I mean, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Why does he allow these things to happen? It's the age-old question. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And the thing is, if we listen to the critics, if we listen to the media, if we listen to the agnostics and the atheists out there, the secular mindset is going to paint a negative picture of the character of God. It's going to paint this picture of God where he's a vindictive, judgmental warlord who is who is seeking for revenge. They're going to say, why, they're going to say that God created evil and he's still wondering why the evil is there. How's your picture of God? Do we sometimes listen a little too much to the picture the world paints? Do we believe that picture of God that is presented? Because the reality of it is, our conception of God, the mindset that we have of God, the preconceived idea that we have of God, shapes who we are. And if we have a preconceived notion that God is a vindictive, violent taskmaster who is out to get us, there is no desire on our part to want to have a relationship with him. Who wants to have a relationship with an angry person? Any volunteers? Right? And so having that misconceived idea about God is going to stagnate a relationship with him. And so there's no desire to have that relationship. Let me put it this way. True story. Names are changed. Ed and Kate met in college. Bible college. Righteous Bible college. It was a good Bible college. They're good people. Good young adults. Just fresh out of high school. But they meet each other in college. It was a very brief meeting, kind of like what you guys have already done, that handshake. It's a very brief meeting. You go, hi, yeah, good to meet you. Oh, yeah, good to meet you. I'm Ed, and you are? Kate. Kate, yes, good to meet you. Yes, oh, good to meet you. It was a very brief meeting, brief encounter. Didn't have much of a time to interact a whole lot, but Kate caught Ed's eye. You guys know what I'm talking about? I know you guys have been looking around this week and going, the new junior girls are looking pretty good. Seen you guys do that. Well, yeah, those new freshman boys, they look so handsome. But this is what happened to Ed. Kate caught his eye, and he's like, I'd like to get to know her. Sometime. Well, their freshman year, they had classes together, a couple classes together, and she sat on one side of the room, he sat on the other side of the room. All they could do was small talk. And Ed was trying to make these interactions with her, and he didn't really approach her too much because he's one of these timid freshman guys who doesn't want to get rejected. Right, guys? Come on. Join me in this. Come on. We don't want to put ourselves out there just to get our heart crushed, right? Yeah. So he's taking it easy a little bit, taking it day by day, and doesn't quite want to interact with her too much, but he likes her. He thinks that maybe she thinks that he's not quite worthy enough. So freshman year, nothing happens. Don't even really get to become friends. They're just kind of acquaintances. Sophomore year, they're together again, same college. And again, he wants to make connections with her, but he has this preconceived idea that she maybe doesn't have any interest in him. And so he really doesn't make much of an effort. Junior year rolls around. And they're on a car trip together, a road trip together. I don't know exactly how the circumstances went, but they went on this road trip together, and Ed's kind of excited. He's like, hey, now I get to really interact with Kate, but wait, I don't know. He's kind of written her off by now, thinking that her idea of him is not very positive. And so he's a little nervous about the road trip, but he still goes anyway. He's a little excited, and they're in the car together for a few hours, and they've gone through all of the small talk that they can do. They've talked about the weather. They've talked about brands of shoes. They've talked about sports teams or whatever the case may be. They've talked about wardrobe, dress code. No. And finally, Kate drops a bombshell. And Ed says, Ed's thinking, uh-oh. Now she's going to give it to me. Now she's going to tell me how I should change this or change that. And she doesn't really like me and she's not that much into me and she'd rather be into some other guy over here. She says to Ed, listen, I want to tell you something. And here's Ed. Clammy hands. Guys, come on. You know that feeling. Girls maybe get it too. No? She's giving it to me now. She says, Ed, I kind of admire you, and I'd like to get to know you more, but you seem a little too unapproachable. And Ed feels this rush of relief. And he goes, really? Because I kind of feel the same way about you, and I've just been kind of nervous. I don't want to get to know. Needless to say, fast forward a little bit, they're happily married. Okay? That never would have happened if Ed continued to keep his notion that she was not into him. So guys, here's your lesson real quick on the side note, on a little tangent. Stick yourself out there. Don't be afraid. Go for it. Everybody gets rejected sometime. Now the deans are like, no, Pastor John, no. Interact in the right kind of way, okay? But the relationship was stunted because of a misconception, this notion. How is that in our relationship with God? Do we have a clear view of God, or do we have a misconceived idea of who God is and how he relates to us? Is the image that you see of God fuzzy? Is it a negative image? Is it a positive image? Is it hard to see because of life's circumstances? Open your Bibles this morning to our theme text for the year, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, typically you're going to hear this chapter read at events such as weddings. Ain't that right, Pastor Fred? How many weddings did you do this summer? You only did one. How many did you go to? Two. Only two. Okay. Typically, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? Now, after the story I just told in 1 Corinthians 13, you think Pastor John's going to talk about relationships and love. Well, we are talking about relationships with God. Here's the theme verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, reading from the New Living Translation. Paul says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. The theme for the year that ASB has chosen is clarity. With this theme verse, can we see with perfect clarity? I'll give you a little background on what Paul is doing here. This verse is smack dab in the middle of Paul's explanation about spiritual gifts. You read the chapter before, he's talking about the gifts that the Spirit has given to the church, the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, the interpreter of tongues, interpreter of languages. And then you continue reading in verse 14, he goes completely all about tongues and prophecy, speaking other languages and prophecy. But what he's saying, if you flip back to the last verse of chapter 12, he says, everyone is created different. Desire those gifts that will be helpful, but then let me show you the most excellent way to live. And he goes on to explain love. He says, if I have all these gifts of speaking in other languages, I'm just a noisy cymbal. I'm clanging, I don't make any sense, and I don't have love. I'm just a blabbermouth. And then he says, if I have faith that can move mountains but don't have love, it's worthless. He says, those lesser abilities, the preaching, the teaching, the prophets, the interpretation, will eventually cease. they will disappear. But the thing that remains and the one that is most important is love. And so that's why he says in verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away those childish things. I mean, come on, guys, do you still play with those childish toys that you grew up with? Some of you still do play with Lego. Mr. Gladding. Our toys just change, don't they? They just get bigger and more expensive. But when you're a child, you put away the childish language. You don't babble anymore. You speak English, be it the King's English or the Queen's English. Doesn't matter. I got a smirk from Stephen over there. That's good. But Paul is saying those lesser abilities will cease, but we need them now to still be able to see, even though we see things a little imperfectly, like that reflection in the mirror, soon we will see clearly. And other translations will say, soon we will see face to face. We get a glimpse of the future of heaven, but right now it's a bit dim because of the circumstances that we are in. Now, this word clarity is a qualifier. It's an adjective. It describes something. It describes that our vision will be clear. It's not saying that we can't see. It's saying that our vision right now is a little bit blurry. Just a little bit blurry. How many of you wear some kind of corrective lenses, be it eyeglasses, contact lenses? Come on, raise them high. I got to see all the hands in here. I know a good number of you guys do that. I wear contact lenses. Sometimes I wear glasses if my contacts are bothering me, right? With all the dust, sometimes we might do that. Do you remember the first time you put on those glasses or the contact lenses? Do you remember that? I remember it very clearly. Haha, no pun intended. I remember walking out of the optometrist's office. It was winter time, so the sun had already gone down. The restaurant sign was illuminated, and I remember being able to see the perfect edge of that illuminated sign. It was no longer blurry. It was amazing. I could see. 20/20 vision, I could see. And now I could see road signs. I could see words on the chalkboard. I could see the basketball hoop at school. I was like, wow, I can actually increase my three-point percentage. Woohoo! That's what God wants to give us in this life even. He wants to give us that clarity. The question is, do we desire it? Do we want that? That is the exact thing that two guys from Jericho wanted. Matthew chapter 20. I wish that the verse was Matthew 20:20, because then that would be really neat. Matthew 20:20. It's not 20:20, sorry. It's 29. Matthew 20, verse 29. As Jesus was leaving from Jericho, there were two blind guys. They were calling out for Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd was saying, "Be quiet. Be quiet. Don't bother the master." They wouldn't listen to the crowd, and they continued to cry even louder, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped, and he turned towards those two blind guys. And what does he say? I want you to see this for yourself. Matthew 20, verse 33. They said, "Lord, we want," what do they say? "To see." We want to see. And Jesus, the Bible says, had compassion on them. He touched their eyes, and immediately they had clear vision. The question is, do we want that clear vision? Do we want to see God face to face? Do we want to have a clear picture of Him so it's not fuzzy, so it's not dimly lit? It was a special privilege that Moses had. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses had this amazing special privilege. Verse 11 ends, says, and the Bible says that inside the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. And he would share with Moses. And when Moses saw God face to face, he could clearly see the character of God. In the next chapter, chapter 34, the Lord passes in front of Moses and speaks his character and totally eradicates all of the world's paintings of the picture of God. This is what the Bible says. The Word of God says that the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. This is Exodus 34, verse 6. The God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children of the third and fourth generations. God's picture is a compassionate, loving God who forgives, who will forgive you thousands and thousands of times again and again, because his desire is for you to have a connection and a relationship with him. He is a just God. He gives a warning. Do not live a life of sin, because problems will come. But this picture of God is a father who cares, an Abba, a daddy, someone who has his arms open wide and says, come, my child, come into a relationship with me, and I love you. I do not want to spend eternity without you. That is why I have sent my son Jesus to be with you. And this picture, my prayer is that this is the picture that you have or will have as you grow in your connection and your relationship with him. But I know that it's hard to see that sometimes. It's difficult through that fog of life, through the smoke screens that the devil gives us. It's hard to see that clear picture of God because we want to blame him for so many things. Our personal lives, our personal sins distract us from that picture of God. Satan brings lies and distorts our view of God. The circumstances that we're given, that we don't even ask for, confuse us. The suffering that we experience, we blame him. And if we're looking for answers for the particular situation that you are in or that you have faced in the past, I cannot give that. I cannot give it because I don't know why God allows this stuff to happen. I know that we live in a world of sin, but maybe this is that part in 1 Corinthians that he talks about. We see as a dimly lit mirror. We see a puzzling reflection. We can't quite make it out exactly what is going on, but we do know that someday we will see Christ clearly, face to face. And we will be able to ask those questions and we will be able to get those answers that our heart so longs for. Even though he's not with us physically, we can still have that relationship with him. When I was in college, I had an awesome privilege of being a student missionary. Seniors, when you graduate from here, you're already thinking that, I know. It's already been the first week of school. You're already thinking graduation weekend. When you graduate from here, you go to college, you have an opportunity to be a student missionary somewhere around the world. I encourage you, do it. You will never regret it. Most awesome experience that I had. And I went to a foreign country as a student missionary, as a youth pastor. And freshman, here's your quiz again. Where did I go?
Australia.
Good job. You guys listen. Okay. I went to the land down under. I was a youth pastor there. And 1 month after I arrived, my girlfriend and I celebrated our 1 year dating anniversary. Everyone say, aww. Okay, yeah. See, isn't that special? Yeah. I'm making her blush now, but that's okay. We were able to talk. We could not see each other face to face, but we were able to call one another on the internet. Now, this was 14 years ago, 2001. And let me tell you, technology has drastically improved for international internet calls. Isn't that right, Mr. Linz? In 2001, if you wanted to call someone on the internet, it was best to wear a headset with a little microphone. And when you talked, there was about a 2 second delay. And so you have to say, hi, how are you doing? And then they would say, I'm doing good, how are you? How was your day today? It went well. I taught the kids this. You had to have this little delay going on. It worked. Couldn't see her face to face, though. But it was something that was really special. I longed to see her face to face. I wanted to see her in person because we were celebrating our 1 year dating anniversary. The following day, I was involved in a fairly catastrophic bicycle accident. Broke my wrist, concussion my head, broke my finger. I'll tell you the story sometime later. I was in the hospital for 2 whole weeks with my arms both in traction like this. Let me tell you, I wanted to see people that I knew. I was able to talk with Karen, my girlfriend, on the phone while I was in the hospital. I was also able to talk with my parents, and my mother came and spent a month with me as I was recuperating back at my house. And one of those days after I got out of the hospital, I got on the phone with Karen, my girlfriend. And the emotion of wanting to see her, the emotion of 9/11, which had just happened a week prior to my accident, the emotion of being in a foreign country, not knowing many people, it overwhelmed me. And I just broke down, and I wanted to see her, and I wanted to be near her, and I wanted to be with her face to face in that relationship. Well, we dated the entire year by distance. That's tough. They'll tell you that distance makes the heart grow fonder or wander. And praise God it didn't wander, because we're happily married today, so that's a good thing. With 3 lovely children. There you go, say it again. Aww. But we kept that daily email going. We kept those weekly letters going, those occasional packages going. What was it that kept that relationship alive? Was it because we were together face to face? No, because we weren't. What kept that alive was the love that we had for one another, the memories that we could share, the desire and the knowledge that we were going to be together once again. Here's how this connects in with God. The picture of God that we hold will either draw us closer to Him or it will repel us away from Him. We need that clear vision so that we will want a relationship with Him. For example, if Karen didn't like me, would I continue to contact her that whole year we were apart? No. My friends, God is crazy about you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13. You always hear this one mentioned. Paul says there are these 3 things that remain, which means they will never cease. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest, he says, is love. Let God's love give you a clear picture of him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the words from your scriptures. We're thankful that we can read, we can understand, that we have your promises. Please give us that clear vision. Give us clarity as we desire a relationship with you. Don't let us listen to the lies of Satan or the distractions of this world. Help us to see you through the fog, through the smoke, through the darkness. And may we know that when we go through trying times, it is when you are the closest with us. Be with us this day. Guide and protect. In Jesus' name, amen.